지 와스데바야 नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto chapter 16 text 32
32 to 34.
So what I thought we could do is together we can read text 32 and 33. There's no purport. And then we will chant together text 34. So can we do that together? So this will be the meter that we chant the Brahma Samhita to, and we'll do it all together. Are you ready? Okay.
Tastam suvigya mataso tapasakshati bhu kayam nidaya bhuvibhur patim paneshmu sadvakritam jalibhutas Samalasya Bhartu Marakshet Savasharanadam Namdapan.
So we can read translation together. Their minds very much disturbed together. Those saintly ladies placed their children before them and then bowed down to the Lord of all creatures, laying their bodies flat upon the ground. They desire the liberation of their sinful husband and the shelter of the Supreme Lord, the giver of ultimate shelter. And thus they folded their hands, supplication, and approached him. Text 33.
Nagnapatya uchu.
Let's try to do this together. It's a different meter. Anyway, we'll try. In the interest of time,
nyayo hi danda krita kilvishasmis tavavatara kala nikrahaya riposutanam apituya drishti dasse daman param
tam. My eyes can't see, this is so small. This is smaller than the This is like smaller than normal, or I'm just getting old?
Getting old.
Getting old. Okay, let's read the translation together. The wives of the Kaliya serpent said, "The punishment this offender has been subjected to is certainly just. After all, you have incarnated within this world to curb down envious and cruel persons. You are so impartial that you look equally upon your enemies and your own sons. For when you impose a punishment on a living being, you know it to be for his ultimate benefit." So today's verse, then we'll chant responsibly.
Anugraha ayam bhavataha kata hi na danda Asata te kalu kamsa apaha yat danda shikatvam amusha deina krodha api te anugraha Eva samattaha anugraho yam bhavata kritohino dando sutam te kalu kalma sapaha yadanda shukat
sutam amusha dehina.
Yajnanta sutam amusha dehina.
Kroro pite nugraha eva sammataha.
Kroro pite nugraha eva sammataha.
Anugraho yam bhavata krito hina. Dando sutam te kalukama sapaha.
Dando sutam te kalukama sapaha.
Yatanda sukattam amusha dehina.
Yatanda sukattam amusha dehina.
Krodho pite nugraha eva sammataha. Translation. So we read together? Translation?
Read the two verses to alone, then after you do the word for word and read it, then we can do it together.
Okay.
Oh, you did it. Okay. I missed it. Sorry. Say that.
No, well, actually, no, we didn't do the meaning of the words. Anyway. So, translation to text 32. Their minds very much disturbed. Those saintly ladies placed their children before them and then bowed down to the Lord of all creatures. Laying their bodies flat upon the ground, they desired the liberation of their sinful husband and the shelter of the Supreme Lord, the giver of ultimate shelter. And thus they folded their hands in supplication and approached him. The wives of the Kaliya serpent said, "The punishment of this offender has been subjected to, is certainly just. After all, you have incarnated within this world to curb down the envious and cruel persons. You are so impartial that you look equally upon your enemies and your own sons. For when you impose a punishment on a living being, you know it to be for his ultimate benefit." And word meanings of today's verse. Anugraha. Mercy. Ayam. This. Bhavataha. By you. Krutaha. Done. He. Indeed. Naha. To us. Dandaha. Punishment. Asatam. Of the evil. Te. By you, Kalu, indeed, Kalmasha Appaha, the dispelling of their contamination, yet because Dandasukottam, the condition of appearing as a serpent, Amusha, of this Kaliya. Dehina, the conditioned soul. Krodaha, anger. Api, even. Te, your. Anugraha, as mercy. Eva, actually. Samataha, is accepted. We read this together? Is that the plan? Okay, let's read it together. What you have done here is actually mercy for us, since the punishment you give to the wicked certainly drives away all their contamination. Indeed, because of this conditioned soul, our husband is so sinful that he has assumed the body of a serpent. Your anger toward him is obviously to be understood as your mercy. Hare Krishna. Purport. Srila Madhvacharya points out in this connection that when a pious person suffers in this world, he realizes, quote, "The punishment the Supreme Lord is meting out to me is actually his causeless mercy. Envious persons, however, even after being punished by the Lord for their purification, continue to envy him and be resentful. And this attitude is the reason for their continued failure to understand the absolute truth." Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Shamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschachira Sitarine Vanchakalpatuvyascha Kripa Sindhuvye Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangulangayate Girim Yakripa tamaham vande Sri Guru Dinatharinam Sri Krishna Chaitana Paramitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Bhashari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So in verse 32 it is described that the wives of Kaliya were desiring his liberation. And of course we know he was liberated. There are also other reasons he was liberated, but it was mentioned yesterday, I believe, that certainly that was part of his liberation is that he had someone praying for him. So if you can find somebody and ask them to pray for you, that will be good. Because when the Vaishnava prays for us, Krishna then listens to those prayers. We also learned yesterday that Kali in his former life was a yogi who was cursed by someone called Vedasira, and he was cursed that he would get chastised by Krishna and get his mercy. And just as with Navakuvira and Manigriva, Krishna had no business with them because they were demigods not engaged in bhakti, but because Narada Muni blessed them, Krishna had no choice, just like he had no choice, he had to. Brahma blessed Hiranyakashipu, he had to fulfill that desire. So, when a devotee desires the welfare of another person, Krishna pays attention. In fact, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes it as the devotee points in the direction, that person, who will Krishna give mercy to? Following the devotee wants to bless someone, then Krishna will bless that person. And then you might say, yes, but I'm not really a devotee, so what about me? So I have a story that should help you realize that even little old you can pray and Krishna will hear you. So one of our godbrothers, Shivananda Prabhu, he was on a morning walk with Prabhupada and they were sitting down together and Prabhupada turned to him and Prabhupada said, pray. Pray to Krishna for me. And so he was shocked that Prabhupada would say that. Shocked in two ways, that Prabhupada would ask, that Krishna ask him. Yes, that was a shock they would ask him, or Prabhupada would just ask that question. So he was shocked. He said, Prabhupada, how can I pray for you? I'm not qualified. And Prabhupada said, no, you are a Vaishnava, Krishna will hear your prayer. So I had one godbrother, he's no longer with us, at least not physically, Guna Grimash, and I worked a lot with him, and somehow or other, it was also in his chart, he was drawn to people who were especially fallen. Like, if you go to a temple, you find the worst of the worst, those who were struggling the most, they would be attracted to him, and he would be attracted to them. And everywhere he went, this was just his thing. And he told me in his chart, it said that he would be surrounded by those kinds of people. And I always saw that he would show a lot of kindness to these people. These were the kind of devotees that they come to the temple and everyone had given up on them and basically no one would even give them the time of day. And he was somehow they're drawn to them and he took affection on them and they all became very, very elevated by that affection. And I observed this again and again and again, that if a devotee takes affection on someone, Krishna reciprocates. So it works in two ways, that we We want the affection of the Vaishnavas. We want to please them. We don't want to displease anybody. If a Vaishnava doesn't like us, that's not good. If a Vaishnava likes us, if all the Vaishnavas like us, even better. So we want to act in a way that we get the blessings of the Vaishnavas. And also, we want to act in a way that we give blessings. There's a beautiful letter by Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was, I don't know the context, but a devotee had left, or many devotees had left Krishna consciousness. And so Prabhupada was explaining that what he meant by, I am your ever well-wisher. He said, even if a devotee leaves, I am always their ever well-wisher. I cannot be any other way. That's a Vaishnava. You know, somebody slaps you in the face. But still, as a Vaishnava, we're their well-wisher. As Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we should only desire the greatest good for our worst enemy. So that's a Vaishnava. Of course, we read yesterday that one who's envious is not a Vaishnava. So then one may think, well, I guess I don't have to follow that rule because I'm not a Vaishnava. But we are learning to be Vaishnavas. So if a Vaishnava is a well-wisher to even his enemy, then at least that much we should try, we should practice to show some kindness, some prayers. And so it's interesting. Some devotees, they create partnerships and they pray for one another. So you might want to get a partner who prays for you. I mean, theoretically, husband and wife should be praying for one another like that. Right? Friends should be praying for one another. That's how it should be. So ask your friend to pray for you. Pray for your friend. I've actually asked the devotees to do this, and they have written to me and told me it works. My dear Mahatma Prabhu, it works. We were praying for one another, and if you don't believe me, then try it for yourself and you can see. So, there's actually a book, I think it's written by a Christian lady. I think it's called The Praying Wife. Maybe, Lakshmi Mani, do you know that book? Anybody know that book? It's like from the 50s or 60s, but it's how a wife would pray, especially if a husband is not doing well, would pray, or vice versa, praying husband. The spiritual master always praying for the disciples, for their well-being, constantly. This is the nature. So, Kaliya was being prayed for, as discussed yesterday. As we know, Kali is a snake. A snake is envious. We heard yesterday Prabhupada said, if you're envious, you're not a devotee. I was in one class in Los Angeles, must have been 1972, Prabhupada said, if you're envious, if you're jealous, you live in the material world. If you're not envious, if you're not jealous, you live in the spiritual world. Were you in that class? You remember? He was there, but he doesn't remember. Maybe. So I don't remember the context. I don't remember the context, but some of the context of envy came up, and so Prabhupada was trying to show that those who are envious, we're not. Envy is the nature of the material world. So when you're envious, even if you look like a devotee and you're even in the Dham, but if you're envious, actually you're not in the Dham. You're in the material world because that is the nature of the material world, as we read in the purport. That's what got us here, and that's what's going to keep us here. And if we want to get out of it, then we have to overcome the envy. So let's go to text 33. Let's see what point is made there. The wives are saying, you've punished him rightly, he deserves it. They weren't upset with Krishna. They said, no, it's a good thing. He's an envious person, he deserves it. And Parityunaya Sadunam Vinasai Chaduskritam, you've come to chastise the miscreants, so it's part of your job. And you're not chastising partially, you're impartial. People get what they deserve. And ultimately, you only punish for a person's benefit. And so, have you ever been in a difficult situation or suffered and said to Krishna, "What's up? What's going on? I didn't do anything wrong today. Why is this happening? And last week was a good week, and the week before were the best rounds of my life, and I came to Mangal Arati every day for the last 20 years. So, I don't understand." Sometimes, maybe you won't understand. But this is the way I look at it. It happens, and we understand everything Krishna does for his devotee is his mercy. Krishna does not act out of envy. Krishna acts only out of love. So, he must be doing something for the benefit of the devotee, even if it seems like he's forsaken us. So I have a little skit in my head. When I go through something and I'm thinking, I don't know why, doesn't seem like I deserve this. Of course, I don't think that anymore. Now I think, I know I deserve much worse. But when I was a younger devotee, I didn't understand. So I'd go through this skit in my head that I go back to Godhead and I say, "Krishna, why did you put me through that? I didn't do anything. I was just trying to be a devotee, trying to be sincere." And Krishna would say something like, "If I didn't do that to you, you wouldn't be here right now." So Krishna knows what we need. A little push here, a little shove here, a little kick here. And so that's how we should think. He's impartial. But if he does something, then we should accept it, that this is his mercy. It's something I needed, something I need now, somehow or other. Something in the past, lives ago, I did something, who knows. But ultimately, nobody likes to suffer. The world is not fair. So much injustice. It comes upon us. Krishna, why? We'll understand. We'll understand. That's what we needed. That's how we take it. And in today's verse, the Nagnapadnis take it one step further and they say, actually, this is your mercy on him. That's actually, no, I said it's mercy for us, because now our husband is becoming purified. So they're saying, this is amazing. He is a serpent, a most sinful, envious person, and he's getting your mercy. This is like incredible. It's like, and so, like, why would Kaliya get mercy? So we explain that because the devotee cursed him to get mercy. That was a blessing. And Krishna would give it. But at the same time, why would anybody get mercy who doesn't deserve it? Because that's the nature of Krishna. Then he'll hand it out to anyone who wants it. And Prabhupada was asked, why does somebody take it and somebody doesn't? Because the mercy is for everyone. And Prabhupada indiscriminately gave mercy. This morning I was reading, maybe you heard this story. In the beginning when Prabhupada came, he would regularly go to the dock because he was discouraged. He would go to the dock, "When's the next boat so I can leave? Nothing is happening." It's just, you know. Week after week, month after month, in the beginning, nothing's happening, and regularly going to the dock. And the man at the dock said, "You're always coming, but you're not going." And Prabhupada said, yeah, I just go to the dock for some solace. I won't go, but I'm just going for some solace. So Prabhupada, he's giving mercy in the mood of Nityananda. It's very slow, but he keeps giving mercy to people who don't seem to deserve it. Why is he doing that? Because the devotee is representing the heart of Krishna. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta is representing the heart of Nityananda, and Prabhupada is representing the heart of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. And what is that heart? What did Srila Bhakti Siddhanta sometimes say? We'll establish these, what do you call them, hostels, and we'll feed them meat if necessary. He was rolling cigarettes for the workers. Prabhupada even said, after Prabhupada Sannyasi, even said, when I go to the West, I will cook meat and I will give them wine. He said, why would you do that? He said, because then I will give them the holy name and they'll be purified. So Prabhupada was willing to do basically anything to give the mercy. So he's representing the heart of Nityananda, the heart of his guru, the heart of the parampara. And then we are also supposed to represent that heart and give mercy. So there's a story, one of Prabhupada's disciples, he was a sannyasi and he left. And Prabhupada asked Tamal Krishna Maharaj to go get him. So he found him and he had taken shelter of some yogi. So he would talk to him, he was living near the temple, try to convince him. Now this was going on for some time. And at some point, Tamal Krishna Maharaj thought it was hopeless. And he gave up. He went back to Prabhupada and he said, I give up. I can't convince him. It's hopeless, useless. And Prabhupada said, you do not understand that the mercy of Lord Nityananda is the forgiveness of Lord Nityananda is unlimited. So we understand something of Prabhupada's heart, of how he was willing to give mercy and he didn't care about his own personal happiness and convenience, and he would always say, so do like I'm doing, follow what I'm doing. There's a story. Prabhupada was asked to do a program. The program was going to start at 10 o'clock at night or 11. They were going to get back at like 1 or 2. It was just, Prabhupada was just going to take some prasadam and take rest. They said, Prabhupada, the television show, biggest show in Mexico, you can come now. But it's so late. I don't want to push you. I don't want to inconvenience you. He said, you won't be able to take rest till like 2 in the morning. Prabhupada said, it's okay. We can sleep more tomorrow. Because there were like 5 million people watching the show. I said, there's no way we could miss this opportunity. But then when the devotees said, but Prabhupada, we don't want to inconvenience you, and Prabhupada said, if I thought of my convenience, how could I preach? It would be impossible. So we are trying to follow this mood as best possible. So yesterday there was a discussion on the topic of envy, and Panchagoda Prabhu asked a question, and then it was very late in the class, and Anugraha Janardhan Maharaj said, if I had more time I would answer it. So I'm taking opportunity to go further with your permission. Yeah. So I believe, if I remember correctly, the question was, we were talking about envy, and so Panchagoda Prabhu was saying, well, you know, I may be envious, and, you know, it's just kind of the way I am, but I'm still going on in devotional service, so why worry about it? Was that kind of the question? You know, like just go on, why worry about it?
process of devotional service will purify.
Yeah, in the process of devotional service will purify me, and you could replace envy for so many things, right? The lust, greed, anger, you know. Greed, jealousy, you know, why worry about it? Just go on in devotional service. If it were that simple, then the answer would be, yeah, why worry about it? But lust, greed, anger, envy, and these are huge enemies in the process of bhakti. And the way I've understood this is it's true what you say, just go on with your devotional service, but being envious is not part of devotional service. So that part is not devotional service. So that part, you're not going on with devotional service. You know, or whatever it is, it can be resentment or anger. You know, I have a bad temper, I get angry at Vaishnavas. If I continue in Krishna consciousness, I'll become purified. But if I'm becoming angry at Vaishnavas, I'm offending them, then my chanting is namaparan, so how am I going to become purified if I just say, well, you know, I'll get purified. But you're doing something that's causing an offense. So then, now I can't do devotional service properly to get purified because I'm angry, resentful, envious, and so forth. Secondly, if we study the Shastra, everywhere in the Shastra, we're being told, be humble, be self-disciplined, control your anger, be forgiving, be compassionate. We're told to be all these things long, long before we actually are. Here's your beads, here's the head bead, don't chant on that, chant, start on this bead, go all around, chant one mantra, each bead, this is what we tell them, and by the way, be more humble than a blade of grass. That's how you chant. Like, you can do that the day you get your beads? I don't think so. But, so what does that mean? Amani na manadena. It means, okay, try to respect others and try not to do devotional service to attract attention. Just try it. That's the best you can do. Before you feel more humble than a blade of grass, at least act it out. Even fake it. At least don't offend devotees. Respect them. Don't try to get in the center and say, look at me, I'm the best devotee. So you have to act that way. And then that the action is bhakti. But Panchagoda was referring to Prahlad Maharaj's verse, where Prahlad Maharaj says all good qualities develop as a byproduct of bhakti. And Prabhupada said that again and again and again and again. It's true, true, true. But all these things are part of the process. To think, I don't have to control myself, and I'll just chant, then it becomes namaparad. Now, I don't want to scare you, but I'm going to. If you are not advancing as quickly as you like, if you still find in your heart strong desires, offensive mentalities, you don't find much humility, you're still having trouble respecting devotees, etc., etc., etc. You know what I'm talking about. There's a good chance you're making offenses, primarily to the holy name, because, as you know, when you offend a devotee, two for the price of one, that's also an offense to the holy name. So you get two offenses there. Right? So, do we offend devotees? Do we have bad attitude toward devotees? Yeah, sometimes it happens, right? Are we sometimes envious of the opulence of a devotee? Yes, sometimes. Does that affect the chanting? All the time it affects the chanting. Do we chant the holy name, not always focused, not always praying, distracted? Sometimes. Is that namaparad? Yes. Does it affect us? Yes. So, if I just say, okay, I'm envious, I'll just do the process. The problem is you're not doing the process because if we're envious of even conditioned souls, if we're envious, that's called jana aparad. That's offense. Trinadapi sunichina is not just for devotees, it's for everybody. All right, I will respect Panchagoda, but I go on the street and I can offend anyone I want. Doesn't matter. I'm a devotee. I chant Hare Krishna, you know. They're whatever they are. Who knows what they are? That's not the mentality of a devotee. So, actually, that was an advertisement for the japa course we're going to do. If you're having any trouble in your devotional service, it might just be due to offenses to the holy name. Maybe just saying it might be. Possibly, could be. That's what the Shastra says. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says over and over again. Where there's not Shuddhanam, there's problems. Or not getting close to Shuddhanam, there's problems. So, it's a holistic process. You can't chant in a vacuum. So, I would say what you're saying is kind of like a vacuum. I'll put the, you know, just like put the envy, you know, in a little box and not worry about it. But it's a holistic process. You can't do that. And Prabhupada, you say, but Sishupal, you know, he was envious of Krishna and, you know, like that. Yeah, but that's not our process, you know. I'm such a bad devotee, I can't think of Krishna. Maybe if I become envious of Krishna, I'll think of him 24/7. That's not for us. That's Sishupal is an example. That's better than not thinking of Krishna. But that kind of enviousness is not favorable. So, another answer to your question is, Prabhupada did teach us how to deal with envy. He did, so that means he wants us to deal with it. And this answer is so beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful things I think Prabhupada said on a practical level about dealing with anartha. So Prabhupada said something quite interesting. He said, you should understand that envy is a sign of respect. Because you will never envy someone who doesn't have something that you want. When was the last time you envied the street sweeper? The garbage collector? The rickshaw wala? We don't envy those people because we don't want to be in that position. We only envy those whose position we covet. So Prabhupada said, therefore, those you're envying, you're actually respecting. You're great, I would like to be like you. That's what's actually going on. So Prabhupada said, first, you have to understand this if you're going to overcome your envy. You have to understand you're actually respecting them. You just won't admit it. You know, oh, look at that so-and-so. He thinks he knows how to do kirtan and everybody's dancing. Like, you want to be doing that. You want to be there, isn't it? You want to be the man getting all the glory, right? Or even in a more pure way, you want to do that because you want to do that service for Krishna. You want to be successful like that person. And so you're actually respecting them. Even you're thinking, why him? Why not me? You're actually respecting them. So Prabhupada said that now, once you recognize you're actually respecting them, then you should respect them. And then he said you should serve them. Because service is the antithesis of envy. And if you want to purify something, you just do the opposite. And so Patanjali in the Yoga Sutra said something very similar. He said, if you're envious of a person, you should become their well-wisher. Because being well-wisher is antithetical to envy. And so you become purified by acting in the opposite way. And you say, but what if I don't feel like being his well-wisher? Doesn't matter. If you want to purify yourself of envy, this is the process. So, here both Patanjali and Prabhupada are saying you can't just put envy in a box. You actually have to work through it, purify it, by amanina manadena, by giving respect, becoming a well-wisher, serving that person. And if you do it, it will purify you of the envy. And then you'll be able to chant without offense. Do Because if we're envious of other Vaishnavas, that's a form of aparad. If we commit aparads to Vaishnavas, it affects the purity of our chanting. If we're chanting and we're not tasting, it's due to offense. It could be little offense. It could be big offense. But there's lots of the little offenses we make in our daily dealings, but they have effect on our japa. Sometimes you ever tried chanting, and you're trying and trying, and it's going nowhere? It could be due to something going on in past offenses, right? So, dangerous, right? So, I can just share with you my realization is that I love all the devotees, even the ones I don't love. Because if I don't do that, I want to get myself in trouble. Because there's a lot of devotees I may not love, but I better love them, because otherwise I'll make offenses. And that's it's like we come into this world with an offensive mentality. We're envious of Krishna. And we become devotees, it doesn't just stop. You actually have to stop it. You have to actually work on it. So, if you study the teachings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you come to this Trinadapi Sunichena. And what's the conclusion of Trinadapi Sunichena? Sada Kirtana Kirtaniya Sadahari. I like to chant so much, I can't even stop. Why do I like to chant so much? Because I've learned to respect everyone. And also Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, when I have compassion for everyone, then I can relish the holy name. Both those things, right? So, if you want to taste the holy name, we have to practice respect. We have to give up envy. And said here, resentment, all these tamasic qualities, it doesn't work if you want to advance. Yeah, but he doesn't deserve for me to be nice to him. Okay, he may not deserve it, but for your own benefit, you better be nice to him. You deserve to be nice to him, even if you don't think he deserves it. Because that's what it means to be a Vaishnava. And then you will see. Your devotional service will become clear. Your japa will be better, your relationships will be better, everything will be better. Hare Krishna. Should I go further, or should it stop for questions, or what?
What do you want to do?
Well, let's go for questions, because we always run out of time. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Now, if one is committing offenses,
but he's doing committing offenses, but he's trying to be sincere, devoting, and going on.
Except
two.
Okay, I know one. This devotee is always looking very remorse.
Uh-huh.
Looking like really sad and unhappy. And Prabhupada says, you better go. Because you don't want to see your remorse face every day.
Yeah.
This is not proper.
He actually told him to go in the closet. He was his servant.
Yes. So then, some other time, Prabhupada was visiting a different temple, and they saw the devotee, long hair, kind of like a shovel, and they invited him to come see Prabhupada. So Prabhupada, when Prabhupada saw him, embraced him, says, please come join us again. And when the devotee says, no, I don't think this process works. I'm not going to join. Which indirectly is that the Prabhupada's program is not, it's not qualified, or it's not really genuine. So Prabhupada says, okay, you go. But if he remains in the movement, he will create more offenses.
Yeah.
And letting him go, hopefully that one day he will realize that what he did, what he said, what he did was wrong. So someday, hopefully this devotee will understand that what Prabhupada has offered to us is much less gift.
There were two devotees Prabhupada rejected because they rejected him. And the way he rejected them, he said, go out in the material world and enjoy. That was his last instruction to them. So if your spiritual master ever tells you to go out in the material world and enjoy, that means he's rejected you because you won't listen to him. Hare Krishna. Yes?
And then Sarvabhauma Acharya, and his wife both cursed him that my son-in-law should die. And so, I mean, where do you draw the line between mercy and you just get fed up? Or like Ramachandra, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to start fasting, he was looking at trying to kill him, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So where's the mercy, boundaries?
Yeah, well, I was thinking what you were going to say, but you didn't. But another thing is, sometimes we show mercy. Well, let me first tell a story, and then I'll, because there are boundaries, yeah. So there is a devotee in San Francisco in 1969. His name is Devarshi. And Devarshi had taken a lot of LSD, like too much, like breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I think, for a long time. So his brain, the word space out, his brain was just space. That's all there was. He couldn't. You know Devarshi? Were you there? You remember him? It took him all day to chant. You remember how he chanted? You remember that? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. And then like 2 minutes later, Krishna, Krishna. I remember that specifically because I saw him. And the temple president had asked Srila Prabhupada, so he doesn't do any service, just 16 rounds takes him all day. What to do? And Prabhupada said, then let him stay and just chant. Of course, that was early in the movement. But he came out of it. He purified himself. So he wasn't a bad influence on other devotees. And he wasn't a bad person. And he wasn't antagonistic. So in that case, the mercy you want to show will depend on the individual devotee, but I don't think there's a reason not to show mercy, but whether he stays in a temple or outside, something like that. I think there's two problems I can see. A person is a bad influence on others, so then you may say, no, we have to protect the Sangha, even at the cost of someone who maybe is sincere somewhere deep down, but very troubled, perhaps. Or someone who's just antagonistic, and you can't help. You want to help, but you can't, and then you're wasting your energy. So it's not that we want to be lack compassion. Compassion's always there, but they have to respond to it. Like the stage of Shraddha is when you get the seed from the guru, and all the other stages are you then working the seed. So, okay, here's the mercy, but if you can't work it, then what can you do? As Prabhupada said, what can I do? So then obviously every situation is different. And some devotees have more, they have a deeper level of tolerance and compassion than others. And Prabhupada said, you can't imitate it. So it's not that we want to be nice to everyone, but maybe our compassion has some limitation. There's another story where one devotee was disturbing everybody in Mayapur in the early days, and he was playing his guitar. And then, the devotees were complaining about him. So Prabhupada spoke to him and said, I heard you play guitar very nicely. Why don't you leave Mayapur and travel the world and play your songs? So that's how Prabhupada got rid of him. Yes,
Gopal. One point in regards to having and showing respect to everybody, which is a Vaishnava quality. But there is a line that if this line is crossed, then there's no repercussions. And that is with Maya bodies. So I told this story before. When we went to one program, the procedure was normally that the center stage, the panel would be arranged for us, and we would do our program. But on one occasion, we arrived and we were going up onto the stage. There was a Vyasa-san with one big Mayavadi guru sitting there, and next to him was six little cushions, and each one had one of his sannyasis sitting on those cushions. And when I went up, I was the first one on the stage, and I looked at the man and I told him, "You came off of that Vyasa song." "This is for Prabhupada." And Prabhupada was behind me, and he was chanting on his knees, and he was looking. And then he walked past all the other Mayavadis, went to the last chair, and he sat down, and then this Mayavadi began to speak. And of course we didn't understand, but every once in a while we would hear the name Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. And as he spoke, Prabhupada began squeezing his knees harder and harder and harder. And then finally, because the stage was so crowded, only myself and Vinaya Prabhu were able to get onto the stage with Prabhupada. Everyone else sat in front. And once Prabhupada couldn't endure anymore, he said, "Chant." So I picked up the cartons, I began chanting Hare Krishna, and then picked up the Madranga, he began playing the Madranga, and we were all chanting. The other devotees below joined us and began chanting. Sri Prabhupada took out his cartels, which he carried in a velvet bag, so shiny, and he began chanting, and we were chanting, and then the audience, everyone in the audience began chanting, and that Mayavadi guru just shut his mouth. And we got up and we started dancing. Prabhupada was dancing, everyone was dancing, the whole crowd was dancing, and we continued chanting and chanting and chanting and chanting. And then Prabhupada didn't speak, but at the end of the program, when we got in the car to go back to the people's home room where we stand, Prabhupada said, "We kick those Mayavadis in the face."
Didn't Prabhupada also say, "I couldn't stand listening to that"? It just got to him, and he...
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Like,
there's just
two of us on the stage.
Yeah.
And he said, "We," and then I said, "Prabhupada, you kicked him right in the face."
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I heard that Prabhupada said, maybe there's another one. I couldn't, you know, listening at a certain point, it was like hit the threshold, I couldn't stand hearing it. But it also, in one lecture, Prabhupada was quoting Trinadapi Sunichena, and he was saying, if we are attacked, he said, no more Trinadapi Sunichena. Then, so all you chatras, you have to follow that shloka until there's an attack on the devotees, then you can put that shloka aside, take care of the people attacking, and then once that's taken care of, then you can put the garland of that shloka back on. But that is actually a form of humility also. But not... Yeah. Okay. Oh. No. You have a... Okay. Here's a question.
I don't know. So in short, to a large extent, one's thinking, person's thinking is controlled by Krishna himself, because how else to explain that Jai Vijay, where in Vaikuntha and were without envy, is suddenly turned into a year with Krishna, a year with Vrindavan, etc. Full of envy and all that.
Yeah.
So to a large extent, Krishna controls one's envy is a good thing.
Nice try. when you become Jaya Vijay, then yeah, you can say that. Until then, Icha Dvesha Samutena. You know what's interesting? Sometimes Prabhupada translates the word envy as violence. And then Dvesha also means hatred, but it's also translated as envy. And then you have Atmahana, which is violence to yourself. So ultimately, enviousness is self-violence because it's self-destructive. It destroys our relationship with Krishna. It's what brought us here. It's why we came here. It's why we're still here. And that is because we're jiva tattva. It's totally in our control. We can choose to purify it. So when we talk about the lila, you know, I mean, look at Sishupal. He was the personification of envy, but there was a lesson there also. He got purified as Hiranyakashipu and Ravana, because in those two incarnations they couldn't understand who Krishna was. But Sishupal finally understood who Krishna was, so he was making some advancement. And so that's how Krishna decided he wanted to play with him and liberate him. So that's lila. But you know, if I think I'll be like Sishupal, I mean, Narada Muni, that was his sentiment. He said, like, Sishupal is fixed on Krishna more than I am. So maybe I should become envious. But that's just a sentiment. It's not really, you know, it's not that we're meant to be that way. So you do have control of your envy, I guarantee you. And if you're Jai Envy Jai, then don't worry about it. Yeah. Now, devotees are instigators. Devotees are not, the devotees, they can't be envious because they're a well-wisher of everyone. So, and we're supposed to be well-wishers. And now, you can't preach to people if you're envious of them. It's impossible. You have to see them like sons and daughters. Otherwise, if we're envious, why would we want to preach to people you're envious of? You just want them, hey, go to hell. Get out of here. Isn't it? You're sinful. I don't care about you. And so we can't do that. Prabhupada didn't do that. He never did that. He never gave up on us. We were giving up on ourselves, and he wasn't giving up on us. He was still, no, chant, follow. You can do it. This life, go for it. Hello, Prabhupada, it's useless. I'm so fallen. No, you can do it. So, Prabhupada wanted the best for us. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gopremanandi. Hari Hari Bol. Oh, I forgot something. Don't go. This is the icing on the cake. This is from the Niti Shastra. This is like perfect for the end of class. Listen to this. Don't listen to this thinking who this describes. Listen to this thinking if this describes you. Because when you hear this, you're going to think of 100 people that this describes except yourself. And it's not meant to be taken that way. Listen to this and think, does any of this relate to me? Wicked people have a way of seeing something negative in everything. If a person is modest, they consider him slow and useless. If a person observes his own vows meticulously, then they call him a show-off. If a person is very clean, they proclaim that he is deceitful because of his clean manners. They see cruelty in the brave. They call sages irresponsible because they abandon their families. If they see a person talking very politely, they think he is being a sycophant, a yes man. They call a spirited person arrogant. They accuse a good orator as being garrulous. They call a person who does not take risks as a weak person. There is no merit that the wicked will recognize. They see everything negatively. There you go. That's your definition of envy. Hare Krishna.